Welcome back to RSN. We're already off to an absolute flyer today, and things are about to go from good to great because Mark Stevens has just strutted into the studio. And Steve-O, good morning to you. And I'm going to bounce the ball with the most important question. True or false that Hemsworth hit you up at the grand final to speak to you about the Bulldogs?
It's true. I was in the rooms after the Dogs. Win, of course.
Drinking Crown Lagers too.
I did help myself to a Crown Lager or two. I thought as a supporter for a long time, I think... Seriously, it was Crown Lagers on for everybody.
No, I indulged.
There were a couple of staffers, like physios, sort of eyebrows raised. I think, mate, you've been here 6 months. Yeah, and you seriously think you deserve a crownie? I'd sat through 7 losing prelims. And, we got to the grand final. So in the rooms, and you know how bustling it is in there, and Chris Hemsworth's in there with his brother and dad. He had the scarf on. And I said, any chance, Chris, you could come on live. Sam Lane was buzzing around. So she was working for the broadcast at that stage, the 7 broadcast. So she was trying to grab him. And Chris said, no, Steve-O, you're all mine.
Oh, he suddenly had an American accent.
So is that the so he hung around there for 3 or 4 minutes. We went live with Hemsworth on 7 News at about 6:10. So Sam Lane didn't get the interview. We managed to get it. And then I had another crownie and then did an interview with Dale Morris.
Another exclusive.
And then shuffled off through the park and off to the after party, which I regret now, actually, going to the official dinner.
Why?
It was okay, but the speeches went a bit long. It was a bit flat.
I got there at midnight. It was fantastic. Got the cuddle.
I was warming up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, but after the after party, that was good. I should have gone to Yarraville Railway Hotel, somewhere like that, with the real people.
Now, if your Bulldogs knowledge is a 10... and someone that doesn't really know is a 1, where would you rate Mr. Hemsworth?
A 6.
Okay, that's pretty good.
I think he got a little bit carried away on that day, but whether he's watching every game at this stage, he's got a new movie out on Netflix, I see, called...
What did you hit him up with? Where's his love of the Dogs come from? Is it a family thing?
Yeah, it's a family thing. They grew up down Phillip Island way, I think, so the dad had the scarf on, the brother, and yeah. So it was a big one.
6 is pretty high.
Yeah, he wasn't too bad. He was talking about Angelo Petraglia's form in 86, and I thought, gee, you know your stuff, mate.
Yeah, this is good.
Okay.
Thor.
That's good. That's impressive. Yeah, that's what we want to hear.
He'd probably be the most famous I've interviewed.
How many losing prelims did you say you had to witness?
I witnessed, from the stands, 7 losing prelim finals. Yeah. So that's 85, 92, 97, 98. And then the ones at the end was 8, 9, 10.
97, the most painful?
Oh, that was painful. I had to go back to the Herald Sun building, the old offices.
I was sitting next to Tony DeBolfo watching that in the outer, the beast. Oh. And he brings it up still to this day. I kept saying, swear word Jarman, swear word Jarman.
Yeah. I was flat. I remember Scotty so flat that we were supposed to play a Herald Sun match the next day at Witten Oval versus Age, I think. Yeah. I just couldn't get up for it.
No.
I was shattered.
That's the. I was at that game. How many? We'll guess the crowd. I reckon 80,000.
Oh, at least.
I've never heard the MCG so quiet. Mm. It was just eerie.
Well, I know there was people around me. I was up pretty high in the old northern stand, up above where the new press box is, and there were people around me at 3/4 time discussing whether they should leave now to go and queue at the club for tickets. And some people did. Some people, I reckon, were on Footscray Road as things turned nasty.
Is that the early crow just coming back to strike?
Yeah, it is. So, no, it was...
character building.
They stuffed that one up the Dogs in
there. They would have beaten St Kilda by a world record amount. Everyone at St Kilda knew it. We all knew it. I mean, St Kilda lost anyway, but we would have won by a world record amount.
Second most painful prelim?
Oh, the toe poke.
Lee Matthews, Brad Hardy.
We were a
very good team in 85.
But the Riewoldt toe poke off the ground, which Lindsay Gilby, my mate, still says he touched, which means that if they'd gone to the video, that would have been overturned.
Well, the Libba missed goal. I mean, that was clearly a goal. That was cheating.
And Riewoldt took a dive, remember, with Brian Lake. So a lot went wrong there. And it was an old lady sort of said, if it makes you feel any better, you were the better team. And I said, I won't repeat what I said. I'll see you later.
Should I be charging you two for this therapy session? Just going back on the
tournament
for the Dogs.
So, but if you're Collingwood supporter at the moment, you know, you're a chance for the flag this year. I think they're traveling pretty well. Well, you're a chance. You're in the mix.
Okay.
It's a segue.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
It's a segue. Maybe to play in a prelim final. A lot of headlines around crisis at Collingwood, and Scotty was right. I mean, the sizzle went out of the sausage of this story a little bit yesterday. As Scotty said, when was the last time a suspended fine was activated in the AFL? Mm-hmm. They make it impossible. To the end of, do you think Jordan Dugo is going to be silly enough to go to Bali again, to a nightclub, go to Potato Head this time, get himself into trouble by the end of the home and away season? It's just a nonsense penalty, which I still think, and we inferred this yesterday, I think they had nowhere else to go. From an AFLPA perspective, you really couldn't fine him a lot. Yeah. You couldn't rub him out for a week. It was a lewd gesture and a few silly mistakes.
Yeah, but you could rub him out for being an idiot again.
Yeah.
You're allowed to do that. But what did you make of Mark Anderson's spin?
Yeah, well, let's have a listen to Mark Anderson here.
That's called a segue. Do you like how I did that?
Very good.
Yeah, this is a throw. This is called a throw, Scotty, in the professional electronic media world. But he certainly wasn't happy with the overall general behaviour. He's the CEO of Collingwood, Mark Anderson.
I want to be clear. Our very strong position is that disrespect to women is never to be tolerated. We're incredibly disappointed that Jordan has put himself back in a situation where his behaviour is questioned, and it's a matter of seriousness that we've been in discussions with him over the last couple of days. We considered a number of aspects, and this is where we've landed based on having all of the information and considering all of the circumstances and what we did stand for as a club.
Yeah, interesting there, the way that the general talk was pretty strong, wasn't it? Now, the next step, of course, is will he stay at Collingwood and will he play this week? He's missed a couple of training sessions. Look, I think he's got a suspended sentence. Surely he plays this week. It's a big game.
He'll definitely play, because if he wasn't going to play, they would have just suspended him for face value.
Yeah, so I think he'll be fine. But interesting thing is, putting off all talks, of course, he's a free agent and the deal's off the table, but not only is the deal off the table, Scotty, let's take a listen to Mark Anderson again. The deal's off until the
end
of the season.
Discussions for a contract are on hold until the end of the year. So we'll embark on those discussions at the end of the season with both Jordan and Ryan, his agent.
So why would Jordan Dugowie now not start looking around for another club? Like, there's a slap in the face to say, look, you're a free agent and we're just putting off everything to the end of the year. So if you're a betting man, Scotty, what odds would Jordan Dugowie be at Collingwood?
I think Collingwood are trying to shop him out, and I think that was nearly their intention anyway. And they will, because to get the compensation, they need him to play well, so they want him to play as if he's trying to win a contract, and then they'll get a better deal at the end of the year. My mail is, I think, more the football department. I'm not necessarily the coach, but there's a big groundswell that we might be better off without Geordie. And this clearly hasn't helped.
He's got to the end of the season. Let's just say he doesn't do anything else silly. He plays really well. And then all of a sudden the Collingwood supporters are like, do not dare let this guy walk out the door. We've had Stevenson go. We've had Treloar go. Do not let Dugowie go.
Well, they had a deal of 800 on the table till the weekend. So they might get him for 700 now for the Buffhead tax, as man Jimmy said.
If he does go, the compensation will be significant. It'll probably be a first-round pick under the Secret Herbs and Spices formula.
Because where he goes would have to pay him nine or something.
And it'll be a five-year deal.
Yeah.
So that'll all work in. So they'll get a first-round pick. So you know, it's probably a win-win for Collingwood, but I still think he'll stay at the Magpies.
I'm a bit like you, but talk to me about the cancelling line your man Mark Anderson trotted out. So he's in cancelling, going really well in cancelling, Mark. And this was just a minor setback. Where now he's having more cancelling.
Where does he go?
On top of, so the poor
AFL
club psychologist.
Yeah, RS, or he goes outside. Where does he fit time in to train? As you said, Scott, he's doing a lot of cancelling. But do you think these counselling sessions actually happen?
No, of course they don't. Also, what about the ADHD revelation? Was that used to try? It was an excuse, but that was an interesting revelation in Jordan's quotes.
It was. We haven't known that before, surely, Scotty, have we?
So he's trying to say, I've got this issue, which a lot of people do out there. I don't think part of it is going to a Bali nightclub and going on benders, but he used that as a, like, I've had this breakdown because I'm dealing with this.
A little bit of a stretch.
Yeah. Didn't go down well with some groups who know a lot more about the disease than you and I.
The foundation of ADHD. There's a foundation for everything these days, and there's a counsellor for everybody, Scotty. So
I just think the whole saga could have been, Well, Collingwood could have nipped it in the bud 4 days earlier if this is all they came up with. Mm. They could have had a talking head out there and gone, right, we're going to talk to him when he gets back. He's doing a lot of cancelling. We will cancel him more. He's going to play this week. We're going to deal with this. Yep. And it goes away. But way earlier than Tuesday.
They had to massage it, Scotty. The AFL's involved. So they strategically, of course, put out their release an hour or so later saying we support the decision. They're saying they'd support the decision. They pulled the strings on it as well. So
the AFL were making noises like they were going to be heavy-handed. And that talk about lettuce leaves.
But I think there might have been problems with the AFLPA. You can't just whack players with big fines for...
I get that, but you can... Collingwood can just say he's not playing. Like that, they can just do that for whatever. He hasn't met the values of the club for a couple of weeks, so sit out. Mm. They can do that. The money, I get that. You know, I thought it was only $5,000. How do they get to 25? Because it's not really a fine, Mark. Mm. A
couple of journos went early, Scotty.
So
it's a lesson, I think, in this era of Twitter and trying to be first. Best to be right. And correct.
So who were the journos that went first?
Look, I don't really want to name journos. I mean, you can throw stones at glass houses.
We've all made mistakes. But was that from quickly trying to read the release and got it wrong? I mean, the release didn't... They buried the lead a bit on the release.
Yeah, I reckon it's from quickly trying... And maybe the release wasn't quite as clear as it could have been.
Hang on. How can you blame the release for what was tweeted out?
Well, they buried the lead in the release.
It didn't say he was suspended for the rest of the year in the release.
No. Even if they had a suspended sentence or something. They put two and two together and came up with 56.
There were quick retractions.
Well, you had to. It was blatantly wrong.
It's the Twitter world. In the old day at the Herald Sun, Scotty, we wouldn't have mattered. We wouldn't have worried. I actually got the story that Jason Ackermanis had been sacked from the Bulldogs. So I won't tell you who rang me, but said he's in tears. Wow. He's sitting in the rooms now if you want to go with it. This was before Twitter. So I went to our web guy and he said, a few problems in Sydney, Steve. If you write the story, it'll probably take about 40 minutes to turn over and get it up. I said, thanks for that.
But the story was accurate, though. The
story was 100% accurate, but in the meantime... You haven't got time to waste, but yeah, we did know that one was right. But in this case, Twitter can be very dangerous, and people, they don't let you forget about it. Screenshots are flying everywhere.
Well, Jordan DeGoey knows. Nothing's sacred on Twitter.
No, but what about Isaac Quaynor and Jack Ginnivan? That was sort of tidied
the
off.
Most. My warmed heart after the. It wasn't a passionate apology.
No, it was sort of.
Wasn't great in his role.
No, he's sort of reading down off a piece of paper like someone's handing cue notes.
Yeah. Her first week?
Yeah.
So she's now. This is her third day in the job.
Yeah. I would have done it a bit more professionally. It actually looked like they're in bed together in the same video as they were.
You're more across the younger generation. Explain this game, this phenomenon.
My daughter was telling me about it. So you rate people and then you wheel them back to something. So it might be I rate Quinny a 9, but the dye in the hair turns him into a 6.
And this is happening on social
Apparently
media.
It's so sweeping through social media. I don't get why it's so exciting, to be honest. But
so they were talking about random...
Hypothetical, random sort of dreamland stuff.
Okay. No worries.
Yeah, so that's what it is, Scotty. It might be your son's a 9, but it should be apricot chicken, not apricot lamb. So we're going to give him a 6.
Yeah, I don't. Have you seen the social media, the Netflix documentary? Very scary.
On what?
Oh, it's a documentary. The Social Dilemma, it's called.
Oh, okay.
And it's just about all that stuff that you just said. It's very, very scary, and it's going to get worse going forward. So, no, it's not. I mean, just not good areas in general.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
yes.
Just briefly, you mentioned Richmond's easy run home. I've already had a crack at the Tigers' top four, $3.50.
I thought you said a crack is in a negative way.
I think they're absolutely certain there. I think they'll certainly shorten up after that article today. A good run home for Collingwood as well. And we mentioned this last week, Melbourne's run home. I've looked at it and 9, I've got them potentially at 3-6 on the way home. It's that difficult, particularly if they lose this week. So they're going to need 13 wins to get in the 8. So their percentage would want to be good. They could miss out, Scotty.
That's extraordinary that you've painted that picture for it. Yeah, it's Thursday night. Tomorrow night becomes massive, doesn't it?
Yeah, good. What a game. It's good when it's Thursday night if it's a game we can look forward to all week. I'd still rather it Friday night, personally. The Dogs, are you still confident, though?
I think English is a huge out. I don't believe Waitman will play, even though he's a test.
No,
and Hawthorn have got, a couple of handy points. Lewis and Gunston back in. I really rate Hawthorn this year. So on the fast deck at Marvel, I think that's definitely a danger game. Lockie Hunter should be back after 30 touches in the twos. And there's still a lot of talk about that Proust tackle. I still can't believe that was only 1 week. It's the most vicious, dangerous tackle we've seen. And we've had a brain expert come out in The Age today and said that's...
But we know why. Because he got the suspension and then after that the concussion came
out. It should be the action, not the consequence.
Yeah, you want added weeks on, don't you?
And also the issue with Proust, he's had a couple of other ones this year. And Quinny, there's no such thing as carryover points anymore. So... if you've got a bad record and you're a bad boy, a bit like Dugowie, there should be extra mayonnaise put on the penalties.
But so hang on, if we didn't get this evidence post what happened, would you have been comfortable with the 1 week? Like at the time, we thought English was playing this week.
No, I even think the action's worth two. And also what I'm saying, the system used to have carryover points, which Proust would have had. So one would have become two at least. So you can be a bad boy now and there's nothing really hanging over your head. So I think it's a soft system that's a 1 week. Proust will take that. And you reckon Sydney should sign up Buddy ASAP or you'd wait?
Well, he's not going anywhere else. I don't think you have to rush.
You don't have to do it now, do you?
No, end of the season, go, how are you? I mean...
no whispers any other clubs sussing him out for 2 years?
Why would he leave Sydney? No way. Yeah. Look, his form is up and down. You can't ignore that. He's not who he was. We understand that. But, yeah, I wouldn't be breaking the bank to keep the great man. But you don't want it. You want him to see him for a couple more years.
What do you reckon?
No need to sign him now. Let's see.
He's not going anywhere. He's like all these coaches. Brett Ratton's not going anywhere. You know, Matthew Nix, they re-signed. He wasn't going anywhere.
What odds would you give me, Buddy Franklin, to the Gold Coast?
Nah.
No, what odds?
Hundreds.
300-1. I just don't think it's in Stewie Jew's DNA with what they're doing.
And
there.
I don't think that's Buddy's DNA anymore. He made the big move, loves Sydney. They're going to play. He's going to have a contract for next year.
Yeah,
hang on. Is that music to wind you up? Yeah,
this is Mumba number 69, is it?
Now you're going to join us today because we've got Rodney Ead later on, and we want you in with that interview because you are going to really bring the heavy questions.
Old mate, close, Steve-O. You're close. It's Queens of the Stone Age.
It sounds like Mumba 69.
I'll let you guys argue about the music. I will throw to a commercial, and on the other side of that, we're going to speak to Gavin Bedgood and hopefully find a winner or two today.